From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Immigration overhaul with a path to citizenship for the country's 11 million undocumented has been a third rail for bipartisan reform efforts for years, but maybe not now. Eight senators, four Republicans, four Democrats, say they've found a way, and that this time it will be different. Here's Chuck Schumer of New York yesterday.
Other bipartisan groups of senators have stood in the same spot before, trumpeting similar proposals. But we believe this will be the year Congress finally gets it done.
Today, the president making his big pitch on immigration. Is this finally the time the country takes on its great issue of borders and people, lives, and the law? This hour, On Point, the big new push for immigration reform. You can join the conversation. Is it time? Are you hearing the right way forward? Are you for it? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. On Sunday, New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez stressed the importance of a pathway to citizenship in any proposed immigration reform legislation. He talked with ABC's This Week and laid out the reasons, four of them. He thinks it will happen this time.
First of all, Americans support it in poll after poll. Secondly, Latino voters expect it. Third, the Democrats want it. And fourth, Republicans need it.
John McCain, also looking at what's going on here, saying, you know, think about who does the work for so many jobs in this country.
What's going on now is unacceptable. In reality, what's been created is a de facto amnesty. We have been too content for too long to allow individuals to mow our lawn, serve our food, clean our homes, and even watch our children while not affording them any of the benefits that make our country so great.
Republican John McCain of Arizona yesterday. Joining me first today is Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today. He's got his hands full with the burst of immigration talk lately. Alan Gomez, welcome to On Point. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
So when's the last time we had a reform effort this big?
There have been reform efforts in 2007, 2010. I think 2007 is the one that everybody points to. It's the one that really came closest. So really, this is the first time since the 1986 plan that legalized close to 3 million illegal immigrants in the country that Congress and Washington has really tackled this issue.
New Jersey's Senator Robert Menendez says, you know, Republicans need it, Democrats want it, Latino voters expect it, and Americans support it. Do you agree with that formula?
Well, I mean, if you look at the polling over the last few years, it's been interesting to see there's been quite a reversal. There's a, if you look back in 2006, about 52% of Americans said that halting the flow of illegal immigrants should be the main priority of the government. Just last year, that had switched, and only 41% of Americans thought that, and 55% thought that dealing with immigrants in the country illegally should be the priority of the government. So we've started to see some changes over the last few years.
You remind us that in the presidential election last fall, exit polls showed Barack Obama besting Mitt Romney 71% to 27% among Hispanics as talking as they left polling places. That's a big gap. Maybe that's the gap that explains a lot of the impetus here.
Well, I think during the press conference yesterday, Senator McCain laid it out pretty clearly when asked what was different about the momentum that was there for this kind of push amongst Republicans. His response was elections. I think everybody saw what happened there. You know, Obama won 67% of the Hispanic vote in 2008. That rose to 71% as the Republicans were talking about self-deportation and all that sort of stuff. So I think it was really it was a moment where a lot of Republicans really woke up and said, we need to do something about this. We need to get on the right side of this.
So, Alan Gomez, take us in to the outlines that this bipartisan group of eight in the Senate have laid down. The White House saying the president's speech, as we speak right now, it hasn't come in Las Vegas yet, but it will today. And the White House saying it'll be in many parts along the same lines. Outline it for us, Alan. What's on the table here?
Okay, so four of their main principles that they outlined yesterday. First and foremost, they want to further secure the Southwest border. Border security is one of the most important things when it comes to some of the hardliners on immigration. So that's one of the key tenets of it. After that, it creates a program that allows business owners to easily and reliably check the immigration status of prospective workers. That's been described as a magnet for illegal immigration. How easy it is to get some work over here. So that's another part of it. They want to adjust the future legal immigration system to make it easier for businesses to bring in low and high-skilled immigrants into the country. A lot of business owners are saying that it's just impossible to find some of the, you know, back-breaking agricultural work and some of the very high-tech engineering jobs that are needed. They can't find those jobs. They can't find those workers here in the state, so they need to bring them in from other places. And all of that kind of sets up the biggie, and that's the pathway to citizenship for the 11 million that are here. And that's they laid out quite a process for it. At first once the bill passes, they go into this sort of provisionary legal status if they pass a criminal background check, and then once the border is secured, once there's certain benchmarks that they haven't laid out, once those are reached, then these folks can apply for legal permanent residence and then eventually apply for U.S. citizenship. So it's a multi-pronged approach, and a lot of this is definitely in Obama's plan. There's obviously some disagreements that we'll be getting to soon.
Yesterday, Florida Senator Republican Marco Rubio said that the toughest here is finding a way to legal status for those who are already in the country illegally, the famous 11 million.
None of this is possible if we don't address the reality that there are 11 million human beings in this country today that are undocumented. That's not something that anyone is happy about. That's not something anyone wanted to see happen, but it is what has happened. And we have an obligation and the need to address the reality of the situation that we face.
Marco Rubio yesterday. So let's just start at the beginning here. This is called Tough But Fair. The tough part about border security, I guess, about ID checks for jobs. The fair part, I guess they're saying if you can clear all these hurdles and it all comes together and the border is secured, there's a way forward. This sort of legalization of many of the 11 million that would come with this provisional legal status. What is that status exactly? What would it be, Alan? And how's it like or unlike a green card status?
It's different because, one of the key differences is you're not entitled to a lot of government benefits. So basically, if this bill passes in the summer, as Senator Schumer described it yesterday, almost immediately these folks can register with the government. There are some fines to pay. There's a little disagreement on whether that's the point where you have to pay back taxes and all that sort of stuff. But you're allowed to stay here. You're allowed to work legally in the country. Those are basically two of the biggest things that really a lot of folks in this country, what they're hoping for. Eventually, obviously, they want residency and they want citizenship. But first and foremost, they want to be able to drive to work and they want to be able to work. So that's in this plan, that's the starting point.
And what is that called? Is that an ID card of some kind that says not a green card, but you can stay here?
It's exactly. It's a green card is a complete. That's further down the road. That entitles you to all sorts of benefits. This would be a sort of a card that just allows you to stay in the country. It says you can show it. You can use it as proof that you should not be deported. But it does not confer on you the sort of benefits that are available to somebody who has become a legal resident.
Is this a new status legally here, but not with a visa and not on a green card? Is this kind of the, you know, the new, is this the trick that makes it work?
It's a novel idea, and it's something that Senator Rubio floated last year when they were talking about the DREAM Act. And just to remind you, the DREAM Act is a plan that's been pushed in Congress for several years now, and it directly targets illegal immigrants who were brought to the country as children. And it would have, you know, the plan behind the DREAM Act is to allow them to get residency, allow them for citizenship.
Yeah, we remember.
Rubio's compromise was putting them in this category as well. I mean, so this is an idea that he's obviously supportive of. He likes this idea, and it allows for sort of a little bit of time, a little bit of breathing room to do these other things that they think are necessary, like securing the border, all that sort of stuff.
Now, under this bipartisan plan, they couldn't go ahead on a path to citizenship for anybody unless that border was certified to be secured. That has always been quite an elusive goal. Could it not turn out that this temporary status, you can be here legally, but you don't have full citizenship rights, certainly, it could turn into a perpetual status of, sort of second-class but worker status.
And that's obviously the concern of a lot of the immigration groups. The president is expected today, that it sounds like that's one of the things that he's going to have a disagreement with. You know, what a secure border looks like is a very, very hard thing to define. I mean, right now we have about 650 miles of fencing along this 2,000-mile border. The phrase operational control of the border is something that has been debated in committee hearings for the last several years. It's a very tough thing to get a gauge on. The Department of Homeland Security is actually in the process of trying to redefine what that means and figure out a way to indicate to America that the border is secure and how secure is it. So that's a very hard metric. That's a very hard test to pass or to set a benchmark for. So that's going to be one of the things that's really going to be a sticking point.
Do you think that waiting for that, as approving, signing off on this package with that as a kind of bump in the road, is that enough for Republicans in the House to get on board, enough of them to pass this package, Alan?
Well, their first issue is border security and worksite enforcement and all that sort of stuff. But I think the fact that you saw four Republicans standing up there yesterday supporting this plan is a pretty clear indication that at least some of them are going to be on board.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the big new push for immigration reform. What's on the table? What changes it might bring for the country? It has been in the air lately, certainly since the election. In his second inaugural address last Monday, President Obama went straight at the issue of immigration.
Our journey is not complete until we find a better way to welcome the striving, hopeful immigrants who still see America as a land of opportunity. Until bright young students and engineers are enlisted in our workforce rather than expelled from our country.
Students and engineers, we'll look at that piece as well. Senator Robert Menendez, New Jersey Democrat, like John McCain, Republican of Arizona, stressing yesterday, as this was rolled out, that we have to remember who's doing so much of the work that gets done for Americans in this country.
If you got up this morning and had fruits for breakfast, it was probably picked by the bent back of an immigrant worker. If you, in fact, had vegetables for a chicken for lunch, you probably had it deplucked by the hands, the cut-up hands of an immigrant worker. If you slept in a hotel or motel of the nation, you probably had your room done by an immigrant worker. If you are looking at some of the cutting-edge technologies in our country, you probably saw the ability of making America a more prosperous, competitive place in the world by the intellect of an immigrant worker.
There's a moral case, an economic case. On ABC's This Week on Sunday, Arizona Republican John McCain made the simple political case.
Look at the last election. We are losing dramatically the Hispanic vote, which we think should be ours for a variety of reasons, and we've got to understand that.
And Senators Rubio and Menendez making their case in Spanish yesterday at their big press conference. Here's Marco Rubio saying that he has no shortage of experience with these immigration issues. His parents were immigrants. His grandparents were immigrants. Every day he said he sees the reality of immigration in this country, positive and negative. Here, you know, Senator speaking right from the major press conference.
Mis padres son inmigrantes. Mis abuelos fueron inmigrantes. La familia de mi esposa son inmigrantes. Yo vivo rodeado de inmigrantes. Yo día a día veo la realidad de la inmigración en este país, lo positivo y lo negativo de la inmigración ilegal también.
And Senator Menendez at the same big press conference right alongside all the other seven senators saying this is the moment for immigration reform, saying it in Spanish.
Para mí, yo creo que esto es un momento de gran oportunidad para realizar una reforma integral de nuestro sistema inmigratorio.
This is a great moment of opportunity to realize a major reform in our immigration system. Alan Gomez is with us from USA Today, covers immigration for USA Today. Also with us right now, with me in the studio, Jessica Vaughn. She's Director of Policy Studies for the Center of Immigration Studies, an organization that advocates tough enforcement of immigration laws. Jessica Vaughn, welcome back to On Point.
Thanks so much, Tom.
And from Las Vegas, Nevada, site of the president's immigration speech today, we have Marshall Fitz with us. He's Director of Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress, Progressive Research Advocacy Group in Washington. Marshall Fitz in Las Vegas, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
What do you see in the senator's broad stroke proposal here, Marshall? Does it look like an answer, a good answer to you?
Absolutely. It's definitely the type of first step that we were hoping to see from the Senate. They obviously, only released five pages of their outline, but I know that they've been working diligently to get deeper into the weeds and provide more detail and flesh out those principles. But absolutely, this is the right structure. It deals with both the enforcement side, deals with the 11 million. It deals with future immigration flows, and it makes sure all the while that the American worker is being protected. Most importantly, though, and I think that the single biggest takeaway from this, and this is what's been widely reported, but I do think it's where the ground has shifted on this issue, is that you've got eight really heavyweights in the Senate who are all on board with a clear path to citizenship for the 11 million undocumented workers who are living and among our families here.
Let me ask you about those 11 million, Marshall Fitz. Does the path for those 11 million look real to you? I mean, put aside the secure border requirement first, because who knows when that would be certified or what that would actually mean. But let's say that happened. There are fines to be paid, back taxes to be paid, legal, criminal record check to be cleared, English to be learned, civics lessons to be learned. I wonder what percentage of the 11 million do you think would really end up at the door of citizenship here, Marshall?
Well, it's hard to project, but I think that we've got a good example in terms of how many people would come forward with the recent deferred action program for the Dream Act kids.
Mm-hmm.
that was launched last summer, and we've really seen them come forward in record numbers. I think the agency is gearing up and equipped to deal with this, which is not going to be an insignificant administrative challenge, but I do think that the impetus is there for people to come forward. Look, most of the nearly 70% now of the undocumented population has been here for more than 10 years. They are part of the fabric of America, and they want to settle their situation. And the only way that they're going to start living in the type of stable environment that everyone in this country should be living in is if they do come forward and register and start going through this process. Whether they get to the end point of citizenship, I think that's an open question. And certainly some will argue that many of these individuals will want to return home once they've kind of cleared their status and they've worked for a few more years. But the citizenship piece, I think, is key to us as a country. This is not about them. This is about us. We need for people who are living and invested in this country to be operating off of the same rules and responsibilities as the rest of us. And the great equalizer on that front is citizenship.
Jessica Vaughn, you've been skeptical of reform efforts when we've talked in the past. What do you make of this push, what you see on the table here?
Well, this is such a huge package that it is going to be enormously difficult for Congress to debate, discuss, and try to get this thing passed. I mean, they really haven't learned the lessons of the previous attempts at this, because they're just trying to throw almost everything that they can into this bill in the hopes that some of it's, that they can just kind of railroad this through Congress.
You and other skeptics have said, don't put it in one big package. Let's be incremental here. But when you have so many interlocking pieces, doesn't it take a big package to cover the waterfront?
Well, I think what it takes is because the different sides on this issue are so far apart, what needs to happen first, I mean, these senators are really asking a lot of, especially the Republicans in the Senate and the House, to sort of trust that the so-called tough enforcement measures are actually going to be implemented. Meanwhile, the amnesty is immediate. as Senators Schumer and Rubio
said. You call it amnesty, they do not.
Well, legalization, whatever you want to call it.
There's a path to legal status.
Right, mm-hmm. And they get that status from the beginning before the enforcement measures
are. Is that a bad thing?
It is a bad thing.
Why?
It needs to be reversed because the American people and lawmakers need to have some confidence that the laws we have are actually going to be enforced before we make this decision to legalize this enormous number of people,
They're legalized, but they're not guaranteed permanent residency. They're just brought into some order by that first step, right?
They get status and they get the ability to work here, and that's the biggest thing that's missing from this big package.
But they are here and they do work here.
And we also have a 14% unemployment rate among Americans and legal immigrants who are pursuing the same kinds of jobs. And, you know, they talk about being fair. I think we need to try to find a reform that's fair to the Americans that are most harmed by mass levels of immigration.
So are you kind of in Mitt Romney camp here? Are you suggesting with this they should leave? We need those jobs. They're not legal. The 11 million should go home.
Well, I think that we need to decide whether it's more important to legalize the people who are already here or if we shouldn't also talk about some cuts in future legal immigration to make up for what it's going to take to absorb these people into our economy. And we need to think about really which kind of immigrants are most likely to succeed here and which kind of immigrants are going to be in sync with the needs of our society. And if this is a policy that's harming Americans and legal immigrants who are already struggling, I think the case needs to be made for why we should do that at this point in time.
Alan Gomez, take us back to the sort of different prongs of who is privileged in this. You said unskilled workers at the low end of the skill set, high-skill workers, and I guess those in science, technology, math in particular. I think I read that if they had a PhD or master's from an American university in any of those, they'd be given directly a green card. Is that right? The two ends, what's the policy that's proposed here? And what about folks in the middle, Alan?
They're looking basically at the low and the high end. In the outline that they put forth for all the illegal immigrants and the process they have to go through, that provisional status, then residency, all of that, they made two specific carve-outs. One is for these dream students, the folks who were brought here when they were young. All the proposal says is they will not face the same requirement. So presumably they're going to have an easier path to get to residency. Also, they say there's going to be a different process for illegal immigrants who are working in the agricultural industry. The proposal lays out that it's of the utmost importance for our nation to maintain the food supply. So they say those two are very important and they need to get to those. And as you said, there's also not a different process. They haven't quite laid that out in too much detail here. But yes, they want to give a green card. And this idea of stapling a green card to a PhD that immigrants receive when they go to American universities, that's been something that they've been trying to push in separate bills in the last couple of years in Congress. So they're definitely going for those two high-end areas. And then, you know, when you get to the folks in the middle, like you talked about, things like family reunification, if you're trying to bring a child or a parent into the country, if you're looking at just if you're a regular worker, if you're coming from any other country, that's, I think, where we get into the gray area where it's unclear what that future flow is going to look like. And that concerns a lot of folks.
The language in the Senate proposal, the bipartisan proposal, says they're talking about agricultural workers who commit to the long-term stability of our nation's agricultural industries. What does that mean? They agreed to be strawberry pickers forever? Is it signing up for a kind of perpetual agricultural worker status? Or what? Do you know what that means, Alan?
I do not. I mean, that's one of the things. There's as they've both mentioned, this is a proposal right at this point. There's a lot of details left to be hashed out. But if you look historically, agricultural workers have always had sort of a special place in our immigration system. If you go back to the 40s when the Bracero program was started, that was a program to bring in Mexicans into the United States specifically to work in agriculture.
But they weren't required to stay in it. I mean, they're talking about committing to the long. It sounds like is that serfdom? Marshall Fitz, what about the low end? What about the high end? And Jessica Vaughn's observation that Americans need these jobs.
Well, let me start with the latter first. I think you nailed it, Tom, when you said that, look, these people are already here and they're already working. And the question about fairness is not so much fairness for them, it's fairness for the American taxpayer and fairness for U.S. workers, and that's what leveling the playing field will do by ensuring that these people are not subject to exploitation by unscrupulous employers. And so the idea of putting everyone on the same, operating under the same rules and responsibilities is critical. But to the point about the ag workers, just to clarify, mm-hmm. I think that language refers back to the way the ag jobs bill, which has been bipartisan legislation that's been introduced but not enacted over the last 10 or 12 years. That's the way it has been structured. The legalization has been structured for ag workers because the growers want to ensure that as soon as they get legal status, they don't abandon the farms. But it's not permanent. It's usually, I think, in the last ag jobs iteration, it was for 3 years that they commit to continuing to work in ag. But by doing so, they get an accelerated path to permanent residence. So there's a trade-off there.
That's really interesting. Commit to work in the fields for 3 years and maybe you can stay. Let's hear from our listeners, Marty in Arlington, Massachusetts. Marty, you're on the air.
Thanks, Tom. Quick comment and question.
Yeah.
How dare John McCain say that they don't enjoy our ways? They take advantage of the welfare system. They use our roads, the education, the health care. Some of them have 5 to 7 children. I can't afford a second one. I hate to be crass. Build a fence, send them home. Revamp our system. John Smith, one of our founders and builders, you don't work, you don't eat.
But Marty, you know a lot of them work and work a lot. I mean, do you think that illegal immigrants are really standing in the way of your having a second child or building a career?
Yes, for the extra taxes and the cost put upon me, whether I'm sitting in traffic an extra hour every day or other people around me that should be working, I certainly do.
Go home. That impulse is still out there. Let me get one more Marty or Martin from Watertown, Massachusetts. Martin, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you think?
I think that it's time to pass the immigration reform because the days of U.S. exporting hard industrial goods is over, and now the U.S. needs to invest in importing knowledge and high-end technology, which you need a lot of manpower. And I am one of those people. I came here for school, and I have the green card now. But for those kids who don't have it and were getting exploited, it's time to bring them on board so that they can contribute.
And what about the Americans who say, let's educate, kids who were born here, let's turn them into science whizzes and put them to work?
But we don't have enough people getting interested in the sciences and the maths. But we have a lot of our schools in the America are still attracting very good talent from all over the world.
Well, that's quite true. Martin, I appreciate your call. My time is short before the break. I apologize. Jessica, we hear again and again, it's a very competitive world. We're educating lots of kids in science, technology, math. Why send them home once they're educated? They're among the world's best out of our universities. Why not keep them here?
Well, if you're one of America's best looking for a job in that field, you might feel differently about it. And look, that's probably one of the least controversial aspects of this, the STEM workers. But you can't find an economist in this country that will tell you that America has a shortage of unskilled workers, which is really what we're talking about with the legalization program and 11 million people who've been living here illegally. Those, some of them may become scientists, great, but the reality is that most of them are going to struggle at the low end of the labor market for years to come and not be able to contribute much in the form of taxes and so on. And so it is bound to be a net drain on our fiscal budget.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the big new push for immigration reform, what's on the table, where it may go, what changes it would really bring for the country if it went through. Jessica Vaughn is with us from the Center of Immigration Studies. Marshall Fitz is here from the Center for American Progress with us today from Las Vegas, where the president's giving his big speech on immigration today. Alan Gomez is here from Washington, immigration reporter for USA Today. Let's go to Savannah, Georgia, and Sonny. Sonny, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Well, thanks, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a naturalized American, and it took me way back then long trek, 13 days on the tramp steamer to get to America, and it took me 5 years to become a citizen. My question that I don't hear many talking about is, amongst all the other prerequisites, which I think should be in order, two things come to mind. One is, are they going to get online behind the people who already have applied, or are they going to go to the head of the line? And my second part question is that, in visiting the national parks throughout the West last year, I noticed all the summertime workers at the parks were like foreigners from Russia, from this and that. Where's the young kids in America that would like to have a summertime job?
Sure. Sonny, thank you for calling from Savannah. Alan Gomez, what about this issue of jumping the line, jumping the queue? That is explicitly addressed in here. How, Alan?
For the vast majority of these, they will go to the proverbial back of the line. And, you know, understand if you're looking at folks coming from places like Mexico, the Philippines, China, places that we get a lot of people from, the wait times to get these green cards are, you know, in the, you know, 7, 10, 15 years. They take quite a bit of time. But like we talked about earlier, some of these specific groups, you know, folks who are in masters, folks who work in agriculture, folks who came here, who were brought here when they were young, it looks like they're going to have a different process. You know, a lot of that is still up in the air, but the majority of these, they will, you know, that's the idea. They're going to go to the back of the line. They're not going to skip anybody, and they're going to have to wait their turn for that to come up.
Jessica, does that make you feel better? And what about those national parks jobs? If young Americans aren't taking them now, what does that say about the demand for work, for jobs that you're talking about?
Sure. Well, as far as the back of the line concept goes, that really is a gimmick to get people to think that this, you know, is somehow going to be fair.
Why is it a gimmick?
Well, because they're already going to be here, and they will have been legalized before any of the enforcement measures. Right now,
so
the State Department has a list of more than 4 million people who've already qualified to be sponsored by a family member or a U.S. employer who are waiting their turn.
From abroad.
Yes. And so, you know, this is misleading to say that they're not going to be able to live here ahead of those people, because they are going to be.
But they do, is the point, right? I mean, that goes back to the issue of, are you suggesting expulsion? Because they do live here.
Well, again, we've got to make a decision. If we're going to have limits on immigration, which pools are we going to draw from? The people who are living here illegally, or the people who are being sponsored by family members or by employers?
But
and how are we going to manage that?
I get that, but doesn't your perspective there leave us in this perpetual limbo? Well, we never solve it, and we just have this huge, you know, 11, 12 million, whatever it is, population among us. It's just always there, and it's not right for a lot of reasons.
Not necessarily, because I think that, you know, we're dealing with human beings here. They are not migratory birds. They make rational choices the same way everyone does. And if it becomes clear that it's, you know, impossible to get a job here, impossible to get a driver's license, that there is no, you know, special path to citizenship for you, they're going to make different choices. Most of these people are working here. They were working in their home countries before they came
here.
It's
the self-deportation argument that you're making away. Make it tough. Make it so unfriendly that they go home.
Well, actually, yes, because although, you know, it's not something that happens overnight, it's something that happens over time. And when we've tried this approach, it's worked. It's worked in the states that have adopted tough immigration enforcement policies on top of what the federal government has
done. Boy, I don't know. I mean, I look at the national numbers, and they just hang right in there year after year after year.
Well, that's because we haven't had tough enforcement for the last 4 years.
Well, Obama has been tougher than anybody ever in terms of deportation, wasn't it?
Well, even the president will tell you that those numbers are deceptive, because they include mostly people who are arrested at the border by the Border Patrol, not people who have been removed from our communities here within the United States. If you look at the numbers, arrests are down except for the Border Patrol, and that's who they're deporting, and criminals, which everybody agrees should be deported.
Alan in Saranac Lake, New York. Alan, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I just wanted to make the point that we shouldn't be looking at this from the point of view of tolerating immigration or dealing with the immigrants who are already here. We should be embracing immigration as part of the solution to our demographic problems. We have looming problems funding Medicare and Social Security, and an influx of immigration will start rebalancing the our aging population with younger people.
Have more younger workers contributing to those systems? Marshall Fitz, how about it? Is a is bringing this 11 million into the system a net gain for the fiscal health of the system or loss, or can we tell?
Yeah, absolutely, it's a net gain. Appreciate the caller's question. We did a study a couple of years ago that shows that there would be a $1.5 trillion cumulative boost to GDP over 10 years if we were to adopt the type of program that the senators have outlined here. And the CBO score from the 2007 bill, the last bill that was debated in the Senate, was it's somewhere between $25 and $30 billion in the black, so positive. But you know, I just want to go back to the point that, you know, I think you keep raising, which is that, you know, are we really going to try to remove 11 million people and you know, their families who have been living here for such a long time and actually have been contributing and really working hard towards the future progress of this country? And the public opposes that type of expulsion. They completely rejected Mitt Romney's self-deportation idea and concept. And you know, the largest numbers I've seen in terms of people who think that we should try to remove the undocumented population are around 25%. So then you've got 75% that think that something more constructive needs to be done with this population. There is a question about what. And we think that the type of program that has been outlined by the senators is the right approach. Put them into the proverbial line, as Alan calls it, and you know, ask them to jump through the steps necessary to earn the privilege of citizenship. But in terms of the fiscal question that this issue raises, I think it's unequivocally a positive for the country. And right now we're spending $18 billion a year on immigration and border enforcement. That's more than the annual GDP of 85 countries. And like you said, you keep looking at the numbers and we're still at around 11 million. And so the idea that we're actually going to enforce our way to a solution here, I think, is just completely misguided.
Jessica Vaughn, do you think you're losing the hearts and minds battle here? You can see Republican leaders, some right on this eight-senator panel, saying the election results came in and they're very clear. We, i.e. the GOP, can't win, nationally anyway, unless we get in a better position with immigrant Latino voters. I also look at charts here that show what people think. You know, what's more important, the halting the flow of illegal immigrants or dealing with the ones already here? It used to be halting the flow was the number one issue for Americans. Now it's dealing with the ones already here. Are you losing the hearts and minds battle here? Maybe John McCain's reading this right. It's time.
Well, the thing is many Republicans recognize that simply caving in on this proposal is not necessarily going to help them with this block of Latino voters, if such a block even exists. Most of them know that this is going to be seen as pandering and that the real future for them with voters like this is to find candidates that these voters can identify with, and they've already done that.
They've done, but that hasn't brought them the vote. They've got Latino voters, Republican office holders all over the place, but you look at their numbers, I mean, they were doing a lot better half a dozen years ago with Latinos than they are now.
But that has anything to do with their immigration stance. I mean,
no, how can you say that? Mitt Romney was very front and center on deportation, and he lost.
But he didn't lose because of his immigration stance.
Well, he lost the Latino vote dramatically.
How do you explain people like Ted Cruz, Susana Martinez, Mr. Sandoval in Nevada?
How do you explain all the Republicans standing up and saying, if we don't change on this front, we're going to continue to lose? How do you explain that?
Well,
they're Republican office holders.
There's only about six of them who are saying that, and that's not enough votes to get this bill through.
Alan Gomez, what about that? I mean, we were hearing on NPR this morning, I think Maura Liasson was saying, you know, in a lot of these congressional districts around the country, they've now been constructed in such a way that very few have more than 10% Latino voters in them. Does this have a chance in heck in the House, Alan?
That's where it becomes difficult. I mean, a lot of these folks, they don't have to answer the national immigration debate. They have to answer to their specific district. So for them, and you saw this immediately yesterday, a lot of them were fighting back on this. Senator Ted Cruz in Texas, Representative Lamar Smith in Texas, Steve King in Iowa. I mean, folks like this were really coming out and hammering this plan. But to get to what you guys were talking about, if you poll Hispanic voters, they're like any other American. They think the economy, they think jobs, they think education, they think things like that. But you hear Senator Rubio yesterday, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush has talked about this considerably. Immigration is a gateway issue for them. And as Rubio was saying it yesterday, if you don't get that one right, it's hard to sort of convince them to talk to them on all these other fronts. So that's where it becomes difficult on the national stage.
I wonder if it's if the proposal is for real in some sense, Marshall. I mean, Bruce writes to us online here. He says, I'm concerned that the stipulation that the border first be secured will be used as an excuse to postpone the other parts of the legislation indefinitely. And it says, even if we put billions more into border security, our long and often remote border with Mexico can never be fully secured. If that's put forward as the prerequisite for implementing the rest of the path, is that just a perpetual waiting room, Marshall?
Yeah, it's a great question, and that's kind of one of those devil in the details issues, but I'm pretty
not such a small detail.
Right. Well, I guess what I mean is that it's hard to read from the five pages of principles, but I'm pretty confident from talking to the Democratic senators and their staffs that the what they mean by these kind of trigger points, these contingency factors before the probationary status can translate into permanent resident status, what they're talking about in terms of those factors are metrics that are achievable simply by deployment of resources. It's not going to be a subjective standard of whether or not the border is sufficiently secure. And indeed, there has been a lot of talk about, you know, how much power this commission has. And my understanding is that the agreement among the eight senators was that there was that this commission is advisory in nature. Indeed, I think Jessica's colleague wrote about that in a National Review piece today. So we don't think that that's going to keep people in a perpetual limbo. I would like to just kind of quickly push back on the notion that there's only, you know, four Republicans that are supporting this now. I've got a list in front of me of about 30 elected officials that have, you know, kind of that span the range from Orrin Hatch, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Bob McDonnell, Susana Martinez, Bobby Jindal. You know, it's not an isolated small group that's thinking in a silo. This is what the Republican establishment believes they need to do, is put this issue behind them so that they can compete for these voters. But unless and until they do put that behind them, I think, as Alan was saying, this is a gateway issue, and Latino voters may be thinking about the economy, but in their hearts, they're feeling this issue of immigration.
Let me get a call from New York, Queensbury, New York. Lisa's calling. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just want to point out, I guess, the frustration of the continued argument you hear from Americans. I see misinformation all the time about what migrants are taking from us. And the reality that I see in my position, I'm a social worker, is completely the opposite. I see the Americans that often I'm charged with working with in my job, who have never worked, who have never contributed, who have many children, who are not really contributing to society. And then I see an entire migrant population who is here working tons of hours a week, and they're even contributing to our Social Security and all these programs that they will never get back from. And then they have the destabilizing force of no status. And there's no real legal status for them to get here. I'm in an area where it's an ag community, and so there is no visa for a dairy farm to get people to milk their cows. So it's this crazy kind of misinformation that I see that really frustrates me.
Just so, are you ready for a big reform that brings legal status that makes that possible, Lisa, for that population?
Begging and pleading. It's about time. Folks need to have their dignity back. They're here working already. And tell me, if you can find an American who will choose to go work on a dairy farm for $8 or $10 an hour, doing hard work and skilled work, then go for it. But they're not out there.
Well, Lisa, I appreciate your observation there, and you're calling in with it. Jessica, what about it? Is it? I mean, there you've got, you know, on the one hand, a caller saying, "Look, Americans aren't working,"
working for $8 or $10 an hour. That's for sure.
Would that change if we didn't have as many immigrant workers here?
Most definitely. Our research shows that it would change. That
wait, $20 an hour to milk the cow?
Not necessarily that much, but even, you know, there's lots of research out there that shows that even an increase of, say, 25% in certain agricultural workers' wages would make a huge difference for them and would really not impact the price that we as consumers have to pay for these things. That I mean, she really said, I can't find anyone to work at $8 or $10 an hour. I know people who would be willing to take that job for a little bit more than that. If she can't find them in her area, I know that they've left places like Vermont for North Carolina, because in Vermont they have largely been replaced by illegal alien workers.
Alan,
gets back to the fairness.
Yeah,
of this.
We're up against our clock here, Alan. What's your read on this? How you've seen these cycles of reform push come and go? Do you think it's different this time? Do you think there's a better chance of this going through, Alan?
I think the speed at which the Republicans came around and have pushed for this kind of thing obviously means that there's a very good chance of something like this happen. But, Tom, I think you know very well that trying to predict something like this, especially in this environment right now, is just impossible.
Well, there's a new political chemistry, a new political calculus. The president speaking today, we will see how all this plays out. Grateful to all of you for being with us from Las Vegas, where the president speaking, Marshall Fitz, with the Center for American Progress. Thanks so much for joining us, Marshall.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
Jessica Vaughn with the Center of Immigration Studies. Thanks for coming in, Jessica.
Thank you, Tom.
And Alan Gomez with USA Today. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, Tom.
Tomorrow, we'll talk about being gay in America now. We'll talk with gay Americans from across the country about changing attitudes. Join us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.